Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masechet Bava Metzia, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Bet. In our analysis of the second Mishnah, which was grouped together with the first, which details the notion of the commodities generating the kinyan and the kesef only being acquired by the seller once the buyer has taken possession of the goods. Etc. Now, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. This is a machloket that we've seen alluded to several times, and now we'll see it explicated. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Dvar Torah ma'ot konot mid oraita. The money generates the kinyan. Why did the rabbis insist that the money doesn't become the possession of the seller until the buyer has taken possession of the goods? Because perhaps the seller will take possession of the money and then tell the fellow that the wheat or whatever it is he's buying just got burned up in the, let's say, in the silo or in the loft. Sof, man neshadad leika bai shlumei. What's the difference? If that's the case, then the fellow who started the fire will have to pay, and he'll pay the buyer instead of the seller. Alexera shamei tipot leika ba'ones. The concern is perhaps ba'ones, a fire will happen. And here's the psychology. Im mokmalu b'shutei. If you keep the wheat in the under the ownership of the seller, even though he's collected his money, then he'll go to great efforts and he'll even risk himself a little bit to save his wheat. But if it's already not, doesn't belong to him, it belongs to the buyer, he's not going to make great effort, and it's in his property, so he won't save it. The buyer won't be able to have access to it, and therefore it'll get burned up and he'll lose. Rish Lakish says, no, the clear kinyan in the Torah is Meshicha. Now, my time at Rish Lakish, where does he get it from? Amar Kara, B'chitim Krum, Kala Metecha, Kala Miyana Metecha, Altonu Ishtachiv. So Pasuk in Vayikra Chafei says, if you sell something to your fellow, meaning to another Jew, or you buy from the hand of another Jew, so what's the illusion? Davar Nikra Miyad Liyad. How does the kinyan happen? Taking it from his hand, meaning Meshicha. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, what does Rabbi Yochanan do with that pasuk? Miyah, the mutei karka delayt ba'ona. Remember, the end of the pasuk is, it teaches the prohibition of ona, or of price gouging, or shall we say, making any sale where the price is distinct, significantly off of market value. Rabbi Yochanan says, why does the pasuk say, kano miyad amitacha, not to teach you that the method of the kinyan is the yad, but rather teach you the range of the prohibition of ona that only applies to things that can be handed over, and therefore karka is not in. We all know that karka is not subject to the limitations of ona. For Shlokish, how does he answer? Imken lichtov kra, and he agrees with the halacha, so he says, imken lichtov kra, b'chitim kru, mimkar, miyad amitecha al tonu. So you could have accomplished that by throwing the word yad in to tell you it only applies to things that could be handed over. B'chitim kru, mimkar, miyad amitecha al tonu. O kano lamali. Why does it say o kano? Shmaminalim shicha. So kano miyaramitacha. You buy it from the hand of the fellow, meaning you take possession. Rabbi Yochanan says o kano mayavilu. What does he do with that? Nibayle lechatan uchitim kubum kar al tonu. Ainly ella shinit anelokeach. So far, I only know that the rule applies if the buyer was suffered ona, meaning he paid too much. How do I know if the seller sold it for too little, by accident or because of fraud, that the deal goes back, then ona applies. Tolomar okano altonu. So therefore it says, if you sell, you may not do ona, or if you buy, you may not do ona. First Lokesh says, Tarti gavamine, he learns both, because okano tells you that it applies to the seller as well, and miyad tells you mashicha. Now, let's test it. Tanan, Rav Shimon Omer, at the very end of our Mishnah, we said that Rav Shimon says, whoever holds the money in his hand, he has control, meaning he can decide whether to complete the deal or to renege on the deal. So it's only the seller who could change his mind, not the lokeach, because he already paid the money. So if you accept Rabbi Yochanan's position that mida oraita, the ma'ot make the kinyan, then I understand why the mocher, who has the money in his hand and still the goods in his hand, can change his mind, and the lokeach, who has neither of them, can't change his mind. They aren't maot, they don't konot, lokeach la min lahadabe, but if the maot don't generate the kinyan, lokeach should also be able to change his mind. He didn't take Mashiach yet. So Malachar Shlokesh, or Shlokesh would answer as follows, Alibir Rav Shimon lokamina. My position is not stated according to Rav Shimon. Ki kamina alibir Rabbanan. What I'm stating is that the Rabbanan, in our Mishnah, have the position of Mashiach kona. And it's fairly clear in our Mishnah. So now Rosh Lakish comes out fine, because according to his position, we understand where Rav Shimon and Rabbanan disagree. Rav Shimon holds Ma'ot Konot, and Rabbanan says Mashiach Kona. But according to Rav Yochanan, what is their disagreement? Because if he holds that Rabbanan maintain Ma'ot Konot, certainly Rav Shimon holds Ma'ot Konot, so where do they disagree? So, they disagree about whether to apply Rav Chista's dictum. The Amar Rav Chista, kederach shetiknu mashicha b'mochrin, kach tiknu mashicha b'lekuchot. That mashicha is a rabbinic enactment to protect both sides. Rabbi Shimon lately to Rav Chista, so Rabbi Shimon does not accept this. Rabbanan itlo to Rav Chista, the Rabbanan do accept this. Oh, so there's the difference. And since Rabbi Shimon doesn't accept this, once the seller still has the money and still has the goods, he really has control over it. Now let's test it. Tanan avala mumishapar min dharma boliati the par mishinomed with diburo. The penultimate statement in our Mishnah was that even though a person who has gotten the money, according to Rabbanan, and a person who has agreed to buy something and has paid, and now the seller really, the buyer could renege because he didn't take Mashiach yet. Nonetheless, there is a Mishapara on anybody who doesn't complete what they've committed to. If you agree with Rabbi Yochanan and the Ma'ot Konot, then I understand what this guy is doing wrong by not completing the deal. In other words, if we agree that Midoraita Ma'ot Konot and the Rabbanan made a kinyan, made a takon of Mashiach, we understand once you got the money and then you renege why there is a Mishapara. But if you hold that really Midoraita is Mashiach, why is there an imprecation of Mishapara? After all, nothing happened here. So why can't you go back? So the answer is Mishum Dvarim, because you made an oral commitment. That's where the Mishapara is. Dvarim Mikai Ba'avel, since when does an oral commitment that you failed to live up to generate a Mishapara? Vatanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer Ava Bisham Talit Konad Dinar Zahav and Dinar Zahav Konat Talit, even though they said that the goods generate the kinyan on the coin, meaning the garment generates the kinyan on the coin, as we saw in our Mishnah, and not the opposite, Mikol Makom Kachalacha, nonetheless, this is the rule. And he has God, who punished all of these different people, to the problem will punish the one who does not live up to their commitment. And we're talking about a case where money changed hands. But if you make just an oral deal, there is no kinyan. And if somebody makes an oral commitment and then changes his mind, chacham are not happy with him. And Viyamarava Anu in Lanu Ella in Racham Nochemenu, and Rava underscores the point, that's the extent of our disapproval. Not Mishapara, which is far more serious, but rather Chacham are not happy with him. So you see that when you have only an oral commitment and you renege on it, so there's a disapproval, but there's not a Mishapara. So why in our Mishnah, if we say, like Rosh Lakish, that Ein Ma'ot Konot, why is there the imprecation of Mishapara? So the answer is follows. Dvarim v'ika b'dayim ma'od kai b'aval. Dvarim v'leik b'dayim ma'od lo kai b'aval. It means in our Mishnah, and the case just mentioned, is in the case in our Mishnah, there was an oral commitment, plus money had already changed hands. There, Mishapara kicks in. In this case, there was only an oral commitment, and then one party reneged on it. Then there's Ein Racham Nachaymenu, and nothing more. Okay, Amar Rav. Akra umanita v'sayel el Rosh Lakish. So both the text and psukim and a braita support Rosh Lakish's position that Mashiach HaKona. Kra, Dichtiv, this is the pasuk at the end of Parshat Vayikra, that talks about Asham Gzelot. And it gives four different examples of things that you would owe somebody else that you deny under oath, and then when it turns out you're liable, you have to return them, and you're chayev for the korban. Cheshba mito b'fikadon, one, or with sumet yad, we don't yet know what that is, of a gazelle, a theft, that's three, or shakat tamito, unclear what that is also. Now, tsumit yad, amar of chista, gonshi, chelo, kli, lavato, what's tsumit yad? It is when a love sets aside a kli as a mashkon, as some sort of a collateral for the halva, and then he denies the debt and he doesn't pay it over. Ashak, what's ashak? Rav Chista gon shichilo kli lashko. You have sort of the same situation, a parallel situation, where a hirer sets aside a kli to be given to his worker as surety for his payment of his workers, and then he's not paying them and doesn't give them it either. Now, the chiyahadre kraktiv tupsukim later, when the fellow is found guilty, and then he says he has, and then the Torah says he has to pay it back. It omits tsumit yad. Vayachiach tav yashem yashivat hagzela one ashagazal, ata oshak asher ashak two, o ata pikadon asher hofkadito three. Tsumit yad lo hadre. Tsumit yad is not mentioned. Now, my taima, what's the reason that it's not mentioned? Lamishum demechsor mashicha. Isn't it because, after all, the Lova never gave it to the Malva, meaning the Malva never got possession of it. And since he never got possession of it, he didn't really own it, such that the Lova is not really denying a debt. Amarle, or Papa the Rava, or Papa says to Rava, maybe when the Torah says Oshik, it's including this also. So Hachamai asks, you know, what's the story? What's the case that's happening? We're talking about a case in the Oshek where the workers took the surety from him and then they give it back to the hirer as a pikadon. So hainu pikadon, then it's pikadon. The answer is tregavni pikadon. There's two kinds of pikadon, like we saw with tregavni gazlan. In Bava Kama, tregavni pikadon, one pikadon that you get l'chatchil as a bail, and the other one where you originally got it as a surety and then you originally gave it as a surety, and then got it back as a pikadon. So yachid tsumit yad nami lehadre v'lok mehingon shenat lo imenu v'chazor v'hifkido atzlo. So why don't we say the same thing? Maybe tsumit yad is also included in here. And the lova gave the pikadon to the mashkon to the malva, and the malva gave it back to the lova and say it's another kind of pikadon. So the answer is iyahadre kralo to yuvtulu siyata. If the text had explicitly said tsumit yad, so you're right, it wouldn't challenge her shlokish, but also wouldn't help him. Hashalo hadre kras na yaleh. But now that the text omits it, and very blatantly omits tsumit yad, it really does seem to support Rish Lakish. With tsumit yad lo hadre kra, wait a second, isn't tsumit yad in there also? Atan Rabbi Shimon minayli ten tamur lamala min lamata dichtiv o mikola sheishav alav sheker. How do I know that all four items listed in the first pasuk should be understood to be in the third pasuk, which has the mitzvah of hashava? Because in the middle pasuk it says, or anything that you lie about. What's that mikol alav? Mikol asher yishav alav. It's there to include sumit yad that was not mentioned, but it's still something that there's a mitzvah hashava. The answer is behedya mi alo hadre kra, because explicitly it wasn't mentioned. It is alluded to, but it's not mentioned explicitly, so that supports Rish Lakish. Now, matnita detan menalan, where's the brayta that supports Rish Lakish? Detanya nitanala balan ma'al. Let's say you have a coin of hektesh and you gave it to a bathhouse worker, a bathhouse attendant. The me'ila is immediate. V'yamarav dafka balanhu, and Rav says they only picked a bathhouse attendant. Why? D'lemichzor mashicha, because there's nothing yet left for him to give. The guy gave the coin, so the hotzah lechulin is immediate. Avmidi achrita, if you have anything else, d'mechzor mashicha, because you pay somebody, you have to wait till you get the goods from him. L'mal ad mashich, there's no me'ila until you take possession of whatever you're getting from him. Hai v'atanias tanas apar ma'al. Hai, we have a bright that says if you give it to a barber, the me'ila is immediate. V'sapar habay l'mishach tisport, and he still has to give you the haircut. So achamay askin v'sapar nochri. We're talking here about a non-Jewish barber. D'lav bar mashichahu. Mashicha doesn't apply to him. We have a braita that supports this distinction, because it says if you give the coin of hektish to a barber or to a boatman or to an artisan or anything, the me'ila doesn't happen until you take possession of the goods. So kashna dadi, the last braita we saw conflicts with the one just prior. So how do we resolve lav shmamina kan v'sapar nochri kan v'sapar Yisrael? If the barber is a nochri, then the me'ila is immediate because there's no din of mashicha. If it's Yisrael, then the Me'ilah happens only after you get the haircut or you get the boat ride or whatever it is. Rav Nachman takes Rav Yochanan's position. The V'chein here is not commenting on this immediately prior thing, but on the whole discussion. It says, really midoraita ma'ot konot. Ubadka lev matnite v'ashkach. Levi checked in a breita and found the Tana l'siton ma'al. If you give ma'ot of a hektesh to a wholesaler, the me'il is immediate, even though you didn't take the possession of the goods. Alakash l'Rish Lakish. So that's a challenge to Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish hamani Rabbi Shimon hi. He said, that is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. As he'll say, that bright is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who, he says, I'll agree, takes Rabbi Yochanan's position, that midoraita ma'ot konot. But I hold like Rabbanan, who, according to him, will say, midoraita ain ma'ot konot, and Meshicha is the one kinyan da'oraita. Okay, I'll pause at this point, and we'll pick up in the next podcast, in the beginning of Memchet Amud Bet, as we analyze the issue of the Mishapara, and then go further into a tangential discussion of a ravon, which may be a down payment or may be a security for payment, and what its status is. Everyone should have a wonderful day.